Can we turn, please, to Nehemiah chapter 6 and those verses that I read earlier? And again, we see here in this little passage from Nehemiah chapter 6 how the attempts continue to lure Nehemiah away from his calling and his ministry to restore and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. The enemies never give up, and they'll never give up on us as they seek to deflect, to take us away from the task that the Lord would have us do. And in these verses 10 to 14, we see the danger of compromised religion. We meet a man called Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel. And we're told he's a secret informer. Now this man Shemaiah, is not mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures. And verse 12 would suggest that this man was considered to be a prophet. It tells us, "Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." So he was considered a prophet of some sort, but there are plenty of them around today. There always have been, and there always will be. And tragically, many of them have positions in the church. This man was shut up in a solitary state. It tells us there, who was a secret. "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you." And of course, he was shut up in this solitary state as a pretense. We learn later, don't we? This is a pretense of sanctity, you know, the sanctimonious. "I'm here, I am in the house of God," and so on. What a hypocrite. A pretense of being close to the Lord. Tragically, you can be as far away from the Lord in a church as you can be anywhere in the world. It's all to do with the heart, isn't it? All to do with the heart. And of course, no doubt, he was a very smoothie-talk. He was a smoothie type of person. Quite plausible. And you know, it's amazing how people fall for this. "I've got a word from the Lord for you." "Oh, thank you. What is it?" You know, I mean, and, well, some of the things people say, you know, you think, well, really, this is a bit too, I think. And so it goes on. His pretense is, of course, he's got a concern for Nehemiah's safety, hasn't he? At all. But that's what he's here, you know. "People are going to come and kill you. You come in here with a bit of protection. In the temple. Where's the most safest place to be? In the temple." And it's all secret, isn't it? All hush-hush and all that stuff. And basically what it is, it's the beginning of another attack on Nehemiah. And this man, Shemaiah, locked away there in the temple with this pretense of devotion. "And I'm so close to the Lord. I am so much in touch with the Lord. Do you know, the fire has touched me." But sadly, however, his true aim is to discourage and disgrace Nehemiah. And here, Nehemiah is in real danger. As I say, it is thought that this man Shemaiah was probably a prophet. I can remember back in the 1990s when we were living in London. Hey, we had an influx of what they called the Kansas City prophets, obviously from America. And what was going to happen in London, the revivals that were going to take place, and all this and all that. And of course, well, I think one of them ended up committing adultery, and they all fell. And yet they were broadcast in some of the biggest churches in London. People were fooled by them. But we could easily have been ourselves. It's so easy, isn't it? To believe what you want, you know, we desire a man to come in. And it would be so easy to believe that the man that did come in would be the man. He may not be. He may be something else. But what Shemaiah is doing here, he is betraying the cause of God. What terrible thing that is. For a man, a supposed man of God, a supposed prophet, to actually betray the Lord himself. We must be so careful, mustn't we, ourselves? Daily we must look into our own hearts, our actions, our words, and stay close as possible to the Lord. So Nehemiah visits him, and Shemaiah says, let's go to the temple. Nice and safe place there, you have no problems there. Because that was a place where people went to seek sanctuary. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 28. Then news came to Joab, for Joab defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and took hold of the horns of the altar. He went there for sanctuary. But it didn't work, because we find later on that King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. And Solomon said to Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, go strike him down. And he goes to strike him down. He tells him to come out. And Joab says, no, I will die here. And that's what happened to him. So it was a place where people went to seek sanctuary. But Nehemiah poses a question to this man. Verse 11. Should such a man as I, Nehemiah, flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Should the chief governor, should the man who's leading the reconstruction of the walls and the rebuilding of the gates and so on, should he flee in times of danger? Should he run off to sanctuary and leave the rest of them at the mercy of these Tobiah and Sanballat and their crowd? That's his question. You don't expect me to do that, do you? It's a question, isn't it? A very difficult one. What would I do? How would we react if there was persecution? I mean real persecution. I wonder if they suddenly, so they passed the law that said everyone that went to church on Easter Sunday would be arrested and fined. How many people would stay at home? How many people would come to church? What a terrible example it would have been if Nehemiah had given in to this invitation. no example at all to his people, would it? You know, leaders should lead. They should lead by example. And this is what Nehemiah does, of course. He in the past, and no doubt is continuing, to urge and encourage the people to have and to bear resolution and courage. We are on the Lord's side. We are doing the Lord's work. And with the Lord's help and enabling, we will complete the Lord's work. And we wouldn't do that by running off and hiding somewhere. You've only got to look back, haven't you, in the earlier chapters of this book of Nehemiah, to see how he has been so used so wonderfully, so powerfully in the work of God. And that's where Nehemiah's confidence is, in God. Remember the verse, I perceive that God had not sent him. You see, technically, only a priest could enter the temple buildings. And Nehemiah refuses to go there, apart from anything else, because he's not a priest. He refuses to break the law of God, even to save his own life. Again, it's a challenge, isn't it? How far are we prepared to go to make a stand for the gospel, for biblical truth, and what it may mean when we stand against some of the social trends in our own nation? The Lord had carried Nehemiah thus far. The Lord had called him. The Lord had called him. He'd enabled him. He guided him. And the work has progressing thus far. And Nehemiah knows the Lord will not give up on him. The Lord will continue to use him to complete the tasks. And the Lord will use you and I, frail and feeble as we may be, to complete the task that he has for us to do with his gracious help. And also, how could he? He says there, should such a man as I flee? How could Nehemiah dishonour God and betray the people? And Nehemiah has a deep resolve not to yield to their blandishments. Just imagine for a moment if Nehemiah abandoned that work. It would discourage those that are working under him, wouldn't it? Where's our leader? Oh, he's hiding up in the temple. He's got a case of the jitters. Oh, well, I'm off then. So am I. Let's go. Down tools, they're off. And would you blame them? Nehemiah has a position of trust. He has a position of honour. He has a position of power. And to some degree, so have we. We have a position of trust. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We seek to keep the honour of the Lord in the way that we live and speak and say and do. And we trust we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help and enable us. But notice there when he says this, in verse 12, I perceived. He, Nehemiah this is, looked at the consequences of their counsel. How wrong they would be. And again, I'm sure the Holy Spirit here is at work in Nehemiah's life. He's guiding him. And as he would do in every other situation, Nehemiah has sought the Lord's will and guidance in this matter. Again, it's a reminder to us, isn't it? We look to the future as a church. We're struggling. But we look to the Lord's will for the church. We look to the Lord's guidance in the church. And we trust in the Lord for the church. And we're told in verse 12 that he'd been hired by Tobiah and Sanballat. Well, we've met these two characters before. They are old foes of Nehemiah. And you see, Nehemiah was fully aware of the situation. And it's true. Wickedness eventually will always be brought to light. And Nehemiah perceived that it was not God, but Shemaiah himself who uttered and made up this so-called prophecy against him. He was hired, a hired prophet, to bring the governor, Nehemiah, into discredit as a violator of the law. Here he is tempting Nehemiah into sin by bringing advice and urging him to go to a place that he was forbidden for him to go to. Just like the old devil, isn't it? Always tries to lead us back to our past sins. The things that would have got to us. What he's doing, he's seeking to make Nehemiah contemptible to his own people. But no doubt also it would have been reported to the king of Persia as well, what this man's got up to. When we run or stray into sin's shame, all the glory goes to the devil. And we must never, ever be afraid or intimidated by our enemies today. We must never be cowed into silence. And that's whether it's on moral issues, on doctrine, the uniqueness of Christ. We stand for God's truth. But what is very, very good is to be afraid of sin. We should dread the scandal of it. And Nehemiah here makes an appeal to God. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and so on. Nehemiah puts his cause and the Lord's cause, where it's best to put it, into the Lord's hands. And he humbly seeks that the Lord will answer his prayer. He asked the Lord to remember and then to punish these false prophets. And we're mentioned, of course, other prophets and prophetesses were hired to try and trip up or tempt Nehemiah into an action over which his enemies would be able to capitalise on. Here we've got a lady called, in verse 14, Noadiah, a prophetess, so called. Again, there's no mention of this lady anywhere else in the scriptures. Again, this lady, Noadiah, was such a one who professed to prophesy in order to deceive and destroy Nehemiah. And Nehemiah humbly seeks after the Lord to deal with these false prophets for their evil designs upon him. Now this is not, I repeat, this is not a revengeful prayer. What Nehemiah is doing is giving over the matter to the Lord to deal with it as the Lord wills. What a lesson that is for us. That all the problems that we may face, some of the difficult people we may have to deal with, both within and without the church, we give them over to the Lord. Let him deal with it as he wills. And isn't that true for us here in our little fellowship here in Helsham? That we are able to commit our course and our situation to him, knowing it's his church and he knows what's ahead. And he who judges righteously. Well, may the Lord help us in this. Amen.